I'd like to do is kind of put in a little bit of perspective where St. Paul or who St. Paul was writing his epistle to the Ephesians, to better understand the counsel, the words that he was giving to them in this particular point. As you know, St. Paul, when he would come, he'd preach, he would come to a particular area, stay there for months, and some occasions stay there for a year or better, working with the people, teaching the points of Christianity, helping them to understand it better. And then when the Holy Ghost inspired him from that particular point, he'd set up the church, set the clergy there, got the people fervent and desirous of Mass as it was known at that particular time, and other prayers and loyalty to the church, and then he would move on. And then from time to time after he'd move on, he would get word. He was always, like he said in another epistle, solicitous for the churches. They were still like his children in the faith, and he was careful for them and wanted to be always understanding how they were doing. In some occasions, he wrote epistles to the different churches as a matter of correcting them because some of their pagan practices had kind of returned and they tried to mix paganism with Christianity. And that correction, he helped them, you know, to stop that particular point. To others, he wrote in points of encouragement, others strengthened them in the faith and whatever else it might be. To the people of the city of Ephesus, it was important for him because this was a port town on the sea, in Greece right there. And so it received a lot of international traffic, people coming back and forth, not only by shipping from the ships that would come in, but also the streets that came through there, the highways in there, connected east and west quite a bit. So the people in Ephesus had a number of different and all types of people of beliefs and lands and ideas coming through there. And they, we would call it today, I think, multicultural. Ephesus was, if you want to call it, multicultural in that sense before it was ever popular in our time. But what was also important there at Ephesus was the giant statue to the goddess Diana. And it was huge. You could see it from about a mile or so outside the sea. And so inside the city of Ephesus, there was this whole, I guess you would try to call it, it's a religion, a devotion to Diana among the Greeks. But besides that, there was this whole material stuff. There were people selling statues and things like that, whatever, to honor Diana. So it was not only popular as an international trade route from the sea by land, but also people coming just to see that big statue and to purchase the different things and whatever. So to be able to survive as a Christian in a land like that wasn't going to be easy. Simply because of all these ideas and all that. And the Greeks were a type of people who wanted to absorb the thoughts, listen to the language and thoughts of other people, and be able to, you know, ruminate on them in their minds and think about various things. And in some ways, kind of absorb and incorporate, you know, some of the things that were from before, others that would be rejected, whatever else it might be. St. Paul was reminding the Christians as he wrote in his epistle to the Ephesians, he was actually coming to the conclusion in these lines that we read today, about the specific place in which they lived, that they had to be, he uses the word circumspect, circumspectio from Latin, which means to look around. If it was possible for us to have a swivel in our heads and be able to look all around and be careful of all the things around us and whatever, so that we're protecting ourselves and that different things from other people are not being absorbed by us and would change our belief, change our way of life and all that, that it wasn't the prudent and smart way to be able to bring in all of these things and thus bring confusion to our own lives. St. Paul was telling the Christians at Ephesus, you've got to be careful. You already know the way of God. God has brought these things to you. This is, the truth is there. You don't need to absorb all the different things in society around you. You don't have to be part of this and part of that or whatever. You have the truth. The truth is enough right there for you. Be circumspect. Be careful. Look around. The word we would use today is be prudent. Now the idea of prudence, you know, if we want to talk about something here, that it's a virtue which enables a person to know what he should do, but what he shouldn't do. What he should do that's going to be the best thing for him in his life, but supernatural prudence as a virtue, are the things that I need to do to be able to fulfill the will of God, because isn't that what St. Paul is telling the Ephesians? You know the will of God. Be careful. Look around you. Don't let these other people around you suck you into their ways of life. Be strong in your faith. Be strong in your prayer and practice. Give good example to those around you. By that way, you will help them to come closer to God, what they see in you. That's that being circumspect, and to use the word we often use. That's what it means to be prudent. To do or not to do in any particular instance that comes up in our daily lives that we know that is going to be profitable to us by doing God's will, profitable for our spiritual work. Oh, there's human prudence out there. There's human prudence which says there are good people in business. Great at doing that. There are people you can go to for counsel and advice in human ways because for some reason or another they have just been able to, over the years, absorb the different things, their own personal practices, the lives and things that they've seen in others. And from that, be able to make good decisions. And they can be good and wise counselors in the natural things. But that doesn't mean they're going to be good and wise counselors in the spiritual things. See, in many cases, the things of God are going to be hard to understand from that person who is simply worldly prudent, who has the things of the world about him, who has even great knowledge of the things about him at that particular point. There are going to be times even that spiritual things are going to be foolish to such prudent people. St. Paul had counseled the Greeks in another area when he said that, talking about that we are going to appear to be foolish before the minds of men. Why? Because we preach a crucified God. To the Greeks, it's a stumbling block. To the Gentiles, they just want to give up on this thing. We preach a crucified God, but we know it's right. We know before God and in our hearts by faith, this is the correct thing to do. And that preaching of the crucified God and all that that God came to teach us in his church forms for us our moral life, and that moral life gives us our outlook and the things around us through the day. What St. Paul is telling the Ephesians and to us at our particular point is be careful. Don't start judging the spiritual things around you in the humanly prudent way. Don't have to start looking for reasons and examples. So if you have faith, that's going to be good enough. Let's take the gospel story for today. This man that has traveled from the city of Capernaum, Jesus' own town, and he's in the northern part of the sea, and he hears, it's about a 5-hour walk from where he is in Capernaum to where Jesus is up near Cana. He hears that Jesus is back in that area, not coming down the Sea of Galilee, but he hears he's up there. He is so worried about his son that he's close to death. He has a high fever. He knows soon he will die. He will do whatever it takes, even if it means leaving the side of the son to go find Christ and ask him to come to Capernaum, back to his hometown now, so as to heal his son. Jesus just said, you're looking for signs and wonders. Is that what this is all about? And he said, no, I need you to come down, please, for my son's sake. Jesus could see in the heart of that man the trust, the love for his son, and the trust that he had, the faith that he had in Jesus Christ and his power. And so all Jesus said was, go thy way. Go back home. Your son will live. Now that man, if he was humanly prudent, could have said, not good enough. You've got to come down to my house right now. You have to be there. Unless you're there, say some words, touch him, do anything, what else will be done? Nothing's going to happen. He will die. But the man had faith. And he just heard the words of Jesus, go back. Your son lives. And that was enough for him. Again, the humanly prudent person, even if himself he wasn't, who may have been traveling with him, would probably have been nipping in his ears as he's going back. Is that all it takes? For him to just say, go home, your son lives? Why won't he come down? Doesn't he care about you? Doesn't he care about your son? The humanly prudent person would be nipping in the ears of this man with faith, trying to get him to weaken. But by the grace of God, he did not weaken. And halfway on his way home, his servants met him with the good news that his son lived. And just to put it all together, he just asked them, what hour did that take place? And he knew that it was at that same time that the boy's fever left him, was the time that Jesus said, my son lived. The spiritually prudent man didn't have to wait for signs and wonders, didn't have to wait for all kinds of extra things to happen around him. He had enough confidence and faith in God that even though the people in the world around him couldn't think that just amen from that distance saying your son lives was going to be enough, the spiritually prudent person knew that because he had faith. The spiritually prudent one who finds in God, faith in God, a guide for their lives, that person is ready to believe whatever is set before them and will not let the humanly, just simply human natural prudence, which is not based upon faith in God, but faith in me as a man or other people as men. That man would not let just that humanly prudent thing rule his life. And that's where the reward came for him. And this is what St. Paul is asking of the Ephesians. You're in the midst of all these people, of crossroads from everywhere. You're in the midst of all these opinions and thoughts and beliefs and whatever it might be. Be circumspect. Be wise. Be careful. Be spiritually prudent. Spiritually prudent, again, is based on that spirit of faith that I have. I am ready to listen to what God teaches me because I believe in God. I don't need to have him come down and appear to me. If I have someone who I trust who is a person of faith themselves and who tells me, helps me through difficult times, I will trust them. Because I know in difficult matters like that, this person is close to God and I need this strength to me so I can revive my spiritual prudence and get rid of that purely human prudence. Don't get me wrong. We have to have natural prudence about us. Business and points of the day. Well, let that be the point that guides us in our spiritual lives. Too many people do that. So they start to question God. God, you have to show me what you mean. God, you have to show me this. No, I don't believe that anymore. I heard that as a kid. I'm not sure because my friends around me are saying this and that and whatever else it might be. Those are good ideas. All this, it just says, believe in God. When our faith starts to weaken, we only are guided by natural prudence. And the supernatural prudence goes away and my faith weakens, my love for God weakens, and the whole part of my faith and belief in God starts to go by the wayside. The lesson for today is for us is to pray for this supernatural prudence that we need. Our Lord uses another term in the Gospel of St. Matthew. He says we are to be wise as serpents, but simple as doves. Wise as serpents, meaning in our daily things, we know, the serpent knows where to calculate and go around and do the things. We do our business affairs and all that with that certain human prudence. But it comes to our spiritual things, we have a simplicity about us. With a humanly prudent person, that would laugh at us because of our simple prudence. No, we have faith. Faith guides us. Faith is enough. And that's what helps us in all of our actions, all of our words. And in our prayers, it helps, it guides us, it strengthens us. Pray for the grace to not mix the two up. Be circumspect. If you have the human prudence or need it for business affairs or whatever, things in the world, pray for the grace to be able to do that or find someone that can help you with that. When there are the spiritual lives, set aside mere human prudence. Have faith in God. It will challenge human prudence, such faith. But it's that very challenge we need to show, like that man in the gospel, we believe. And all it takes for God is to say in these particular points, guide us in this particular action, teach us in these particular things, and that's enough. Pray for that grace of good, strong, spiritual prudence, the wise as serpents, simple as doves. And then we'll find not discomfort in our life, but the real path toward peace of heart and soul, of not letting the world and worldly things mix up in our own lives, but rather the spiritual things take over, which is what God wants us to do and to have. And like I said, it's the true peace of heart, the source of peace of heart and soul that we all need in every way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.